Lord, we just thank you that we can bring the conference before you, and for every person that's coming, we thank you, Lord, for the almost 2,000 people that are going to be there, Lord, including children. Lord, we thank you for every heart that is so excited, every heart that is ready to meet with you. And we pray, Lord, for every person to have such an encounter with you, Lord, to be equipped, Lord, to be inspired and encouraged, Lord, to walk this walk of faith, to continue, Lord, on this journey. And we pray, God, we believe that you have a divine appointment for every person, Lord, not just for us as a Shofar family. We know you're going to speak to us, Lord, you're going to give direction, Lord, but we thank you for every person, Lord. We thank you for the unique calling upon every person's life, and we pray that you would come and confirm and come and inspire every person to fulfill the godly calling that they have, that you have prepared for them beforehand, Lord, before the foundation of the world. And we thank you, Lord, that every speaker and every bit of preparation, everything that's still going to happen this week leading up to Thursday, Lord, we thank you that it will all form, Lord, such a glorious place of your presence. We thank you for Odom Wurland, and we come and consecrate it to you. That every person walking through those gates would have an encounter with you, would meet you face to face, Lord. We believe that, Lord, as we ask it in faith, believing that you are going to have all the glory and all the honor for this conference, and that every testimony, Lord, would bring glory to your name. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for tonight. We thank you that we are here to glorify your name, Lord. We praise you, Lord, for time in your presence. Thank you that there's nothing like you coming to touch us, Lord. There's nothing like you coming to confirm, even as the song goes, that Christ is with us. Christ is here. And we thank you, Lord, tonight. We open our hearts to your word. We open our hearts to the inspiration of your spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody says, amen. It's such a privilege again to be ministering to you guys. It's wonderful to have you. Thanks for coming again tonight. Are you guys well? Are you guys doing well? I haven't seen some of you for such a long time, because I've been away traveling. It's been hectic. Weddings this weekend. We had such a wonderful time in God's presence yesterday at Yanni and Haynes' wedding. I just want to encourage you guys that are still going to get married, trust God for an amazing day. Okay, I know you, the ladies are very excited about your wedding day, but it's more than just the wedding day and the dress and all the flowers and all the stuff. It's about God's presence coming to manifest right there. And God is so excited about weddings. God is so excited about us. Why? Because he's excited about coming back and fetching us as his bride. And so a wedding speaks of just, and I know Clifford and Charlene are still smiling. They're still on honeymoon. Those who, anyone else married recently? I think it's just them that I know of. But Yanni and Haynes will come back and testify of just what God did. But I had a really great time. God really spoke to me and through me, and it was just such a privilege. But this evening, I want to continue on the whole theme of a new season, because it's just so amazing. Isn't springtime great? I see there's love in the air, there's relationships happening, there's, you know, relationship week is so cool when you have it in August, because you know in September, things are going to start to happen, amen? Some of you will get excited. Maybe it's not your season yet, but don't worry. Some people, maybe it is your season, who knows? But spring is great, okay? A new season is awesome, and God has got a new season planned for our church. He's busy doing it, as we can experience tonight. I'll just recap again. 1 Corinthians 2 verse 9 says that, as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. And we talked about four things last time. For those of you who weren't here, please get the sermon. Mariska is great in downloading it. It's there on a Tuesday already, and the PowerPoint is there, and everything is there. So thanks, Mariska. You are just an amazing technical leader. She's supposed to be taking off today, but yeah, she was busy the whole weekend with the wedding as well. But it's such a blessing to be able to catch up with. If you missed the church service, then it is on the web. So go to shofaronline.org and click on Bloemfontein and go to downloads, and you'll get all the sermons there. But we talked last time about a season of revelation, that God has revealed these things to us by His Spirit. It's not only a season of revelation, it's a season of the Holy Spirit coming to do amazing things in our lives like He did tonight. It's a season where He's going to reveal His heart to us. He's going to reveal His plans to us. And then we talked about a season of knowledge and understanding, knowing the will of God, because Paul writes and he says, I know it, but I don't know it by my flesh. I don't know it by my mind. I know it by my spirit. I don't know it by emotions. I walk by the Spirit of God. And then he says, the things that I know and that have been revealed to me, these things I speak. So we believe it's a season of speaking the Word of God. It's not only good to have the Word of God in your mind and to have it in your heart, but you must speak the Word of God. That's why we need to speak healing into being. We need to tell those things to leave. Or we ask God to come and recreate and do miracles in our lives. We speak the Word of God. We speak the revelation. And then fourthly, we talked about a season of the mind of Christ. Because Paul writes these things in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9 to 16. And at the end he says, but we have the mind of Christ. He says, we do not judge by the sight of our eyes. We do not talk by the mind and by our emotions. We judge and we know that we have the mind of Christ. And we know that we have the Spirit of God. And that, I believe that it's the season of that. It's the season where God wants to empower us just like He did Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was empowered by the Holy Spirit and walked just by what the Father did. He was simply obedient to what the Father did. He didn't just do all everything that we're shouting at him. Sometimes he told people, look, I'm going to go away now because I need to spend time with my Father. And he didn't just run around pleasing people. He did simply what the Father showed him. And many times in our lives as Christians, we run around trying to please everyone, trying to just, you know, like headless chickens, run around like crazy. And then in the end, we get tired and we wonder, why isn't God coming through for us? Why are we so offended with God? Why this Christian walk is so tiring? And God said, you know, my burden is easy, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. We're not supposed to do everything. We're supposed to simply do what Christ shows us to do by His Spirit. And therefore, in Ephesians 2 verse 10, it says that we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Are you excited about the season where God has prepared good works for you? Are you willing to embrace it and willing to say, God, there's works that you've prepared beforehand for me since the ages began. Before I was even formed in my mother's womb, you created good works for me. But you see, it's not enough just to say, okay, great God, you've prepared good works for me. The Bible says, yeah, that we must walk in them. Those good works that God has prepared, we must still walk in those good works. Amen. So it's a choice on our behalf. It's a decision for us to say, God, thank you for it. You've revealed it to me, and now I'm going to start to walk in that. But I believe that many times, why don't we walk in the works of God? Why don't we walk in what God has planned for us? Have you ever thought about that? Why don't we see things happen all the time? Why don't we see the manifest presence of God? And remember, guys, we're not after the supernatural. Okay, I want to say that this evening. We're not after the supernatural. I'm going to show you a video clip now. Why do we don't run after the supernatural? We run after the presence of God. And the Word said the signs and wonders will follow us if we believe. So we're not seeking miracles because, you know, many times we seek magic. We seek just God to do something in our lives and then we go on. And that's not what we're after. We're not after magic. We're after the Word of God. We're after the presence of God. Something funny with this mic. Can you still hear me out there? I believe it's all about positioning. It's all about a consecration. And it's all about one word called humility that God wants to bring into our lives. Because that's why we don't often see miracles. That's why people don't get healed. Because we just want to do it to look good many times. We just want to see a healing and a miracle so that we can look good. And God does not work like that. He wants us to come before Him with absolute humility. And there's two examples here of kings in the Old Testament that I believe God wants us to just look at their lives and realize how did they walk? How did they please God? And the first one is in 2 Chronicles chapter 19. It's the story of King Jehoshaphat. King Jehoshaphat. Okay, please don't call your child that name, okay? It's quite difficult in an ID and you know when you've got to fly overseas to say Jehoshaphat, okay? But anyway, that was the king in the Bible. His name was Jehoshaphat. And he, if you read the story in 2 Chronicles from verse chapter 17, I think it is, it talks about he was a king who pleased the Lord. He walked in the ways of his father David, who preceded him by a couple of generations. He pleased God. He walked in the ways of God. But one time what he did was he allied with the king of Israel, because the king of Israel at the time was Ahab, and he wasn't a good man. He did evil in the sight of the Lord, and he was after his own purposes and own plans. He didn't please God. And so King Jehoshaphat was a man after God's heart. But what happened was King Ahab came to him and said, Jehoshaphat, I need you to help me in this war because the enemy's coming against Israel and I want you to help me and to join armies with me and to fight against the enemies. And so King Jehoshaphat said, yes, okay, I'll walk with you, I'll join you. And what happened was the enemy, and God planned it like that, and the enemy was out to kill the king of Israel. And what happened was King Jehoshaphat was also in the war, and the people came, and it was a miracle because they thought he was the actual king of Israel, and then God protected him. It was a miracle that they realized he's not the king of Israel. And they ended up killing King Ahab. But when they came back safely back into Jerusalem, then one of the prophets said to him, Jehoshaphat, you have done, God's wrath is actually against you because you have joined with the allies. You have allied with someone who is not after God, and you shouldn't have done that. But then he says in verse 3 the following, nevertheless, despite the fact that you have a little bit of a weakness, you seem to want to please people and get affirmation from people, there is one thing that is really great and that God loves about you. It says, nevertheless, good things are found in you. Despite your weakness here, despite the fact that you shouldn't have done what you did now, you have removed the wooden images from the land, and you have done the following. You have prepared your heart to seek God. The prophet said to him, God is very pleased with you in this regard, and that you have prepared your heart to seek God. You have had a passion in your heart, you have a passion in your heart to really please God and to seek after God. And so I believe for us, if we want to see God manifest in this season in our lives, if we want to see God doing amazing things that are beyond the eye, the ear, or the mind, or the heart, God wants us to prepare our hearts to know Him, a passion to know Him. And we can read the rest of 19 and chapter 20 of 2 Chronicles. This king had amazing miracles happen in his life because the enemies were coming against him in chapter 20. Read the story. And he was thinking, oh, I haven't got an army big enough to fight this enemy. I'm not going to be able to make it. Something must happen here. And one of the prophets, the Spirit came upon him and said, listen here, this is what the Lord says, Jehoshaphat. This is what the Lord says. You must just stand still and see the salvation of God. You don't have to fight in this battle. You must just believe. And God will turn the enemy against each other. And that's exactly what happened. The enemies turned against each other, killed each other. And there, the people of Judah were totally delivered from the enemy. This guy saw supernatural things happen in his life. Why? Because he had a heart to seek after God. He had a heart that just wanted to know God. Despite his weaknesses, despite the fact that at the end of his life he seemed to again ally with the Israel king, and God couldn't bless that because he was unequally yoked. But still, God blessed the fact that he wanted to seek God with all his heart. And so for us, that is the first key in the season, is really to please God in terms of knowing Him. Not seeking after stuff, but saying, God, I want to know you, first of all. And then the second thing that's so important for us is not only to know God, but then to obey God. And yeah, the second king that I want to use as an example this evening is King Jotham. He's now found in 2 Chronicles 27, verse 6. And now this king, King Jotham, it's just chapter 27 is a short chapter, and all it says is all the good things that King Jotham did. There's no bad things. He didn't seem to do anything significantly weak or evil in the sight of the Lord. This king simply pleased God. But listen to what verse 6 says. So Jotham became mighty because he prepared his ways before the Lord. In other words, he ordered his ways. He obeyed God. He aligned his life with God's purposes. He obeyed and simply did what God told him to do. And therefore, he had a very successful reign. Not like many other kings of Judah and of Israel, especially Israel. The kings of Israel seemed to do evil in the sight of God. The kings of Judah were a little bit better, but some of them didn't have the legacy that this king had. He prepared his ways before the Lord. And I really believe that we must prepare our ways in obedience before God. We must do what God says we must do. And I want to say to you, I want to ask you this evening, what is the last step of obedience that God has asked you to do? Maybe it's a small thing. Maybe it's just to go and reconcile with your family or with your friend. Make right, forgive someone. Maybe it's a small little thing. Ask the Lord and say, God, you're not going to take me further than the last step of obedience. If God has spoken something to you and you're not doing it, how can God speak another word to you? How can He speak something more to you? Because He's waiting for you to obey the last thing that He said. Otherwise, He's not going to cast His pearls before swine. Because if you disobeying God, how can He work with you? How can He move with you? Even though He loves you, He's going to leave you at that place until you realize, until you become obedient, then He will move on with you. And yesterday with Haynes and Jan, it was so incredible to see what God has done in their lives, how passionate they are for the Lord. And ask anyone who was at the wedding. There was praying happening. There was dancing in the Spirit, literally in the Spirit. They were dancing on the Spirit of the Lord. Is this freedom? Dancing on that song. I mean, it was just amazing how God came to bless their wedding because of their hearts to say, God, we're after your purposes. We're after, we want to obey you and do what you say. Despite the fact that we're weak human beings. But their hearts were after God to just obey him. And God comes to bless, and he comes to bless their wedding day. And I want to say to you, God wants to bless your wedding day. God wants to bless every day of your life. Every day is supposed to be a wedding day with God, where you say, God, thank you that I can know you, that I can have intimacy with you, that I can love you. But he wants you to obey him. He wants you to do what he's saying. Because that's what the Bible says. If you love God, then simply obey what he says. So let us trust God to become like this king, to become mighty. But we need to prepare our ways before the Lord. And it's interesting when you read the previous chapter, verse 26, the legacy that the previous king left was not a good one. King Uzziah, he did great things for God. But what happened? What was his downfall? It's found in verse 18. In verse 16 of chapter 26. He was a great king. He did awesome things. There were miracles happening. He saw God move and establish a kingdom. But what happened? There was something that he was not supposed to do. In those days, the kings were not supposed to enter into the temple of God. They were not supposed to burn incense before the Lord. But King Uzziah decided, well, I'm this mighty king. I'm just going to go in and burn incense before God. And it says, when he was strong, his heart was lifted up. And so that's why many times God will not bless us if we're not able to receive it. Because why? It's going to go to our heads. Our heads are going to get so big. Our pride always gets in the way of God moving. And so he said, he lifted up his heart and to his destruction, for he transgressed against the Lord his God by entering the temple of the Lord to burn incense on the altar of incense. This king was not supposed to do that. And in verse 18 it says, all the priests came and they withstood King Uzziah and said to him, it is not for you, Uzziah, to burn incense to the Lord, but it's for the priests, the sons of Aaron, who are consecrated to burn incense. And they said to him, get out of the sanctuary, for you have trespassed. You shall have no honor from the Lord God. And what happened? He became leprous and he died outside of the temple and outside of where he was supposed to be, because he didn't obey what God had told him to do. And why? Because his heart was lifted up. He went into presumption and he thought, I can just go into the presence of God. I can burn incense. Thought he was very cool, and he wasn't. And so it's interesting to see that the King Jotham after him, it said he was obedient to God. He did good things in the sight of the Lord. He didn't go into the temple, unlike King Uzziah. He did everything actually that King Uzziah did, except he didn't go into the temple. In other words, that was the one thing that King Uzziah shouldn't have done. But what caused him to go into the temple? His heart was lifted up. And so I believe pride is the biggest thing that keeps us from God moving in our lives. Pride always resists. And guess what pride does? Pride brings in fear, because it's a reliance on our own strength. It's a reliance on us, and we can do it. And we, the man of power for the hour, the woman of valor that's going to change the world. God is saying to us, I believe, in this season, if he wants to move, we are going to have our hearts pure before God, have a heart to please God, have a heart to obey God. Even if it seems like, God, why can't I do this? No, no, no. I just said so. Don't do it. Or yes, do this. Why must I do this, Lord? Just do it, if God says. But you must know the voice of God. And you see, we should never get to this place where we are not consecrated. And so I really believe this season of humility and a season of God moving in the Spirit is a season where we say, God, we need to consecrate ourselves. We need to prepare our hearts and our ways before God. It talks about a consecration. It talks about saying, God, we don't want to go into your presence and just expect you to come and serve us. We don't want you to do miracles to serve us, Lord, so that we can look good. God wants to do miracles so that he can be glorified. We're simply the vessels. Come and do encounter too, and you'll realize that's what we've been called to do, is just to become channels. So we must receive and we must just give out again. We must just become the vessels through which God wants to work. But many times we're the blockage, because we want to take the glory. We want to take the honor for it. And God is saying tonight, consecrate yourselves. Prepare your ways. Prepare your hearts before me. Why do I say that? Because guess what? We're living in times where there's very weird stuff happening. There's interesting stuff happening. And I want to show you guys a video clip now. So if I can just have someone to switch off the lights. Of this guy, his name is, he's called, I've forgotten his name now, Stephen Frayne. He's called the... What is the video clip's name again there, Dunry? Dynamo. He calls himself the Dynamo. He's a Brit, an Englishman, born in, I think, about 1982, so he's about 30 years old. Calls himself the Dynamo. But just look at... He's actually a magician, so look at what he does here, okay? This is just 3 minutes long. And I want you to think about why we're not looking for signs and wonders. Why aren't we just after the supernatural? Because look at what's happening. This happened about a year ago, I think.
Sometimes I wonder if my life has all been an illusion. But if there's one thing I've learned, it's that reality is only what you make it.
Different to the story that we know in the Bible, and we're going to look at that now. But you see, there's lots of weird stuff happening out there. There's a lot of supernatural stuff happening, but is it from God? And what is the difference between the real and the fake? And that's why it's so important that we don't come and seek after the supernatural, but God is into doing miracles. But you see, there's a lot of other stuff, a lot of other people also doing miracles. And it says in the last days that there's going to be a lot of deceiving stuff. There's going to be a lot of stuff. And we think it's God. And people are in awe. And they, you know, stop everything and they have a look at this miracle. People are keen for the supernatural. People are ready for it. But what is going to change a life? What is really going to change someone's life? It's when it's really God. And you see, it's all about us facilitating these miracles many times. Because in Peter's walk on the water, Peter went for a little walk as well. But you know, he was the real one. He was not that fake magician who's just doing it out of, I don't know what powers there he did it under. But yeah, in the story of Peter walking on the water, Jesus came to the disciples and he freaked them out a little bit. He came walking on the water in the middle of the night, and you know, it says that the disciples saw him and they were troubled and they were saying, it's a ghost. Oh, you know, we're so fearful. Immediately Jesus spoke and he said, be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid. And then what happened here? Interesting. Jesus has come and he's just a little way off walking on the water, and Peter, the man that he is, bold and excited and passionate, he says, okay, Jesus, if it is you, he says, Lord, in verse 28, Peter answered and said, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. Just a couple of things that I want to highlight here of Peter's heart. Peter's a young Christian. He's only walked with Jesus for, I don't know how long, not even a year then probably. And so Jesus is discipling these guys, and Peter is passionate. Peter realizes this guy is worth following. I want to follow this guy for the rest of my life. I really want to. And so he says, Lord, at the moment, I'm a little bit uncertain. I'm not sure if it is you, because I haven't seen this before, but Lord, if it is you. And he says, Lord. In other words, he's recognizing that if it is him, he's Lord. And he's saying, Lord, I recognize you as the King. I recognize you as the Master. I humble myself. I acknowledge you are Lord. I'm not. But Lord, if it is you, I want to get involved in what you're doing. I want to be part of what you're doing. And so he says, command me. He doesn't say command John and James and all the other disciples. He says, Lord, command me. I want to get involved with what you're doing here. This looks awesome, Lord. And so he's a young Christian. He says, command me to come to you on the water. Because he says, Lord, if it's you, I can do this as well. I'm sure I can do this, God. Jesus, if it's you, command me. Interesting. Peter was actually very humble at the time. And maybe his motives were, I don't know what his motives were, but he was saying, I believe, God, I want you to use me to do what you're doing. I want to do exactly what you do. I want to follow you. And if you're doing this, I want to do it as well. And so he says to him, Lord, command me. And what does Jesus say? He says, come. Come to me on the water. And what did Peter do? Just like that guy did, he walked on the water. But where was he going? He wasn't just walking on the water, attracting people, attracting the supernatural. He said, I'm going to Jesus. Because Jesus says, come to me. Or in fact, Peter said, Lord, command me to come to you. I don't want to do anything else. I just want to come to you. So don't even walk closer to me, Lord. I want to come to you. I'm excited to come to you. Use me to do this, Lord. And what did he do? He walked on the water to go to Jesus. Amazing. Must have been awesome. What an experience to walk on the water. But then what happened? We know the story. The wind came up. He looked at the wind. He was afraid. There's lots of different angles on the story. But one of the angles I believe that God wants to highlight to us is that Peter started to walk in his own strength. He started to say, yes, this is so cool. This must be so awesome. I can start to walk. And then he saw the storm. He saw his own strength. It's not possible to walk because the storm's going to kill him. The storm's going to take him. He was afraid, began to sink, and he said, Lord, please save me. And you know what? God is so great. God always saves us. In our pride, in our wrong decisions that we make, God always puts out his hand and he saves us. And they got into the boat and everyone worshipped him and said, sure, you must be the Son of Man. But what did he say to Peter? He said, why did you doubt? You have little faith. What is the opposite of faith? Fear. Fear crept in. But why did the fear creep in? Because he was walking in his own strength. Pride crept in and he thought, okay, he's cool now. God has used him. He's so mighty. He started to fall. He started to sink. Pride creeps in. But I believe there's three things that Peter did here. The first thing is he had a desire to know God. He said, Lord, if it's you. He had such a passion for Jesus. And it's interesting to see that our first core value of Shofar, one of our core values, is to know, to have a passion for Jesus. Think they're there. There it is. The four core values. And that is the basics of the Christian faith, is to have a passion to know God. And that's all. It doesn't stop there, but it must start there. It must at least start saying, God, I want to know you personally. I don't want to know you as part of a church or as part of the big body of Christ. I want to know you personally. I want to have an individual relationship with you. Because many times we can come to church and we can just be part of a church, and that's our relationship with God, is church, doing church stuff all the time. I'm not saying it's bad. It's great to serve in church. It's great to be involved in a church. It's so important. But if that's our salvation, if that's keeping us going, then we're missing that knowing God. And Peter had that, and we know Peter's life. He still denied Jesus. He still made many wrong decisions. But one thing he did have is he had a continued passion to follow God and to know God. And God knew that, and Jesus had lots of patience with him, but he could see that I can use this guy. Why? Because he said, Lord, if it's you, I want to come to you. Command me, Lord. I know you can do this, and I want to. And secondly, had the willingness to be used by God. As I said, he said, come on me. I want to be used by you, God. I know you can use everyone else, but God, I want to be used. I don't want to be second here. Help me, Lord, to be used by you. He had the willingness to be used by God. And thirdly, he had the confidence and the faith to obey God into the supernatural. That's why I could walk on the water. He had the faith to say, God, you're going to sustain me. You're going to take me on this water. And therefore, he could walk. But guess what? He fell because of that same thing. The pride that crept in and that creeps in all the time. But yeah, it's amazing to read in 1 Peter 5 verse 5. This is now the mature Peter. Because there he was very immature. He didn't really know much about Christianity and following God. But the same Peter grew to a place where he understood that God requires humility all the time. Because yeah, he writes to the... And he's now quite an experienced man writing the book of Peter. And he's saying, you are younger, be subject to the elders. Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility toward one another. For God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Peter said and understood that we've got to have grace of God all the time, but he only gives grace to those who are humble. And so I believe many times in our lives and in our walk with God, we many times get to this place, and it's more mature Christians than immature Christians. Or I wouldn't say mature Christians, because if you're mature, you should understand that you must remain humble. But many times we get casual with God, we get blasé, and you know what? We start to say, God, serve me. You must come and serve me, God. I've been walking with you and serving you all these times, so now start to serve me, God. Start to use me to do miracles, but you must come and serve me, God. And then we do what Uzziah did, and we go into the temple, and we burn incense, and we come casually to God. And we don't remember where we've come from. We forget about where Jesus truly saved us from. And so we become profane, and we become very casual with God. And Peter understood this, and he said, you know what? God opposes the proud. God does not come here to serve us. And he's a loving God, and he's awesome, and he's gracious and everything. But you know what? God has come that he can be glorified. He's given us life that he can be glorified. And so I really believe that in the season we're moving into, and God is doing amazing things in our church. I want to say that, and I want to encourage you guys. I can see there's hearts after God that I haven't seen in a long time. God wants to do mighty things in the city. And I was speaking this week with Hercules and the guys from head office, and they're so excited because we need to reach the students. One of the purposes of Shofar is truly to reach the young people. You know, if you look at our churches, there's not many. There are quite a few older people on the Platteland and the smaller towns, but you know what? Where God's really moving is amongst the students. God wants to reach young people. And so it's not significant. It's not just by chance that God is doing an awesome thing in our church. It's really his hand. It's not. I mean, if it was about my preaching, then I don't know, because we definitely wouldn't be reaching people just with my preaching. It's the Spirit of God. God is moving. God is moving through hearts that are ready and that are willing. But guess what? If we're going to continue on this, and we see God doing mighty things, but we start to get proud and start to expect it and start to... And I'm not saying there's a place where we expect healings and we have faith. We expect it. But I'm saying we must just come with this place of, God, you're not coming to serve us here. You're not coming to do a quick thing that we as Shofar Bloom can look good. We are, Lord, because your glory must be manifest. We want to shine your glory. We want to get out of the way as people. We don't want to be the faces behind what God is doing. We just want to be a faceless church where people come in and they see God moving. It's not about excellence of speech or eloquence of preaching. That's what Paul says. He says he doesn't come with great preaching and speaking. He comes with a demonstration of the Spirit and of power. And that is my desire as a follower of God. I want to see God moving in power and in might. Not because of me, but Lord, you be glorified. You do it, but I'm a vessel. But the key here is to be humble all the time and to not allow ourselves to become proud where we expect God to come and serve us. And my last scripture this evening before we end off is Philippians 2. Because we talked about having the mind of Christ last time. And it says, yeah, it's amazing. It says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. In other words, this is having the mind of Christ. Yeah, Paul is writing to the Philippians and he's defining what it is to have the mind of Christ. He says, this is who Christ was. He was in the form of God. He was God himself, but he did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. In other words, he didn't count the fact that he was God something to boast of. He just decided he's going to become a man. He's going to become a human being, frail, full of being tempted, but not sinning. But he was tempted and he became fully subject to the temptations and the challenges of this world. And he made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And then it says he was found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself and became obedient. Once again, those two things. Humbling yourself and becoming obedient. The key to obedience is actually humility. Do you see that? The key to becoming obedient is actually by humbling yourself. Because what is the biggest thing that resists or that goes against obedience is the pride. And that's why people get offended with church and with leaders and stuff. Why? Because we're proud. We don't want to humble ourselves before what God is doing. Sometimes God will place a small group leader or zone coach in your life and you think, I'm not going to submit to this guy. I can't believe who he is. And look at his life. And God says, I'm going to test you on this. I'm going to test you on your humility and your obedience to what I'm doing. Because I appoint all leaders. Guess what? God appoints all leaders. That's what the word says. But it's time for us to realize we must not only just become obedient and humble, we must remain in this place of where Christ was, humbling himself all the time. And it doesn't mean you must be walked on and trampled on and you're just this floor mat or doormat or whatever and everyone walks on you. That's not humility. That's actually also false humility. Many times is also pride. It is actually pride. Having this false humility of, maybe I'm not worthy. Humility comes where we say, God, I want to be used by you. I'm a channel. I'm not God. I want to be used by you. That's humility. That's what Peter had when he said, Lord, I want to walk on the water. And God could see, Jesus could see his humility. And that's why Jesus is so sometimes holding back in moving in our lives. Why? Because we're just going to take the glory for ourselves. We're going to get proud. So let us remain at this place of being humble before God and obedient. And the key also is in verse 7. It says, he made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant. I want to say thank you to every servant in this house. Everyone who's coming here on a Sunday to help set up, to help make church work. Okay, we need lots of servants. But I also want to say, don't serve out of a place of where you just want to please God out of it. Where you want to just have this need met and say, God, I'm serving you, but you must come and serve me, God. You must come and do something in my life. Serve out of a place where you say, God, I'm so thankful to serve. I'm so thankful to give. I'm so thankful just to be a follower of you. Because many times we can count it as a right. And that's what I believe God is saying to us. And in the intercession on Friday morning, God just confirmed this. That we mustn't have a right. We mustn't have feel like we have rights now to Christianity. We must count it as a privilege all the time. Wouldn't you agree? If you think you've got a right to do it, you know what? Then you start to become proud. You start to say, God, okay, you must now serve me. I've given my life to you. I have a right, so y'all come and serve me, God. And it's a dangerous place because God loves us so much. And you know what? He's going to hold back because he loves us so much. He wants us to realize we need to serve him. We need to come to him humbly. And it starts with that born-again experience. Think back to when you got saved for the first time. When you gave your life to the Lord. Think of how you were at that place where you said, God, I cannot anymore. I'll never forget my own experience. I was in standard 7, 15 years old, and I went to church. I was like this good person, not killing people or murdering people or doing bad things. But I thought, yeah, I'm quite a good little boy, and I'm going to school, a good little school in PE, and it's all fine. Life's good. Go to church every Sunday. And then this evangelist came, and he said, listen, if there's no change in your life, there's no Jesus. You need to humble yourself and recognize that you cannot save yourself. You cannot walk this walk on your own. You're doing it very much in your own reputation. You're a king, Will, and yes, you guys always used to go to the traditional church that you went to, and it's cool, you actually think you can save yourself. You better humble yourself before God. And I realized, God, I've never heard this before. I thought, I'm a Christian. I thought I'll just float into church and float into the kingdom. God said, you must make a change. Just humble yourself. That's all you need to do. I'll do deal with the rest. I'll save you. I'll take you on the journey. And I just recognized, I prayed that prayer and I said, Lord, I cannot save myself. I trust that you are going to save me and take me on a journey. And that's what God did. He was so true to his word. And here I am today, preaching the gospel. What a privilege. What a privilege. It's not a right for me. It's not a right for us to be Christians. It's a privilege that we can humble ourselves and say, God, we want to remain humble before you. And then God is going to start to do mighty things. And then we can have a confidence in ourselves that we are God's children. It's not about, am I going to be proud now? No, you have a confidence. Why? Because you're humble. If you're worried about you being proud, then maybe you are a little bit proud. But if you know that you're humble before God, and humility, I want to say this evening, is a position before Christ. It's not what people say. Many times people say, oh, this guy's so humble, or this girl's so humble. Meanwhile, you don't have a clue what's going on in the heart. And that's why these two examples that I've used tonight, King Jotham and King Jehoshaphat, it said there they prepared their hearts before the Lord, their ways and their hearts. In other words, it's all about what's going on in you. It's all about the heart, and Jacob said it tonight. Let's bring our hearts before the Lord. Let's come to worship God, not from an intellectual point of view, but let's say, God, here our hearts are. Here's what's going on in the deepest part of me. That's what I want to bring to you. I don't want to bring to you my mind, my intellect. That'll follow. But if my heart and my spirit connect with you, then you'll start to use me. So I'm so excited about this season, and I trust you are as well. And so as the band come forward tonight, I really believe God wants to speak to us individually this evening about this thing of pride and this thing of humility and where we stand with it. Because it's the key to unlocking God's move in our lives. It's the key to unlocking what God wants to do. I want to remind us again, God has prepared good works for each one of us. Turn to the person next to you and say, good works are prepared for you. But I want to ask you, do you desire to walk in them? And what's holding us back from walking in those good works is many times this, the thing of pride. Because God wants to work through us. He doesn't want us to be the hero. He's the hero. But it's all about positioning ourselves for these good works. It's a position in Christ that we find ourselves in, a humble position where we become like Him. And it starts with that process, as I said, of when you're born again and you walk in that constant reminder of where you're saved from, where you came from, and that you never arrived, but that you count it a privilege to be a Christian and not a right. And one of the other keys that you can test yourself with is thanksgiving. How thankful are you? How many times do you testify about God's goodness? So often we see the critical stuff, we see the stuff that's not right, and we forget about what God's doing. And the most thankful people are the people that God says, I'll use you, because you recognize it's from me. You recognize that I'm doing something in your life. So I want to ask you, are you thankful tonight for your salvation? Are you thankful for the fact that you're a Christian? Are you remaining at that place where you say, God, I don't actually deserve anything. I'm actually nothing, but you came to save me. You came to change my life. And maybe tonight you're sitting here and you never made that commitment. You were like me when I was 15 years old, thinking that I'm fine, going to church, doing all the right stuff. God is saying tonight, I want your heart. I want you to do stuff for me. I'll cause you to do stuff for me. When you have my spirit, you're going to do mighty things for me. You're going to be like these kings. Miracles will follow you. But do you have the heart after me? So let's all stand this evening. And let's just close our eyes while we do that. So I want to just speak to some people here this evening. Maybe it's just one person. Let's all close our eyes. Let's just pray and say, Father, thank you for this evening. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your presence that's right here now, Lord. We experience you, and we say thank you, first of all, for your presence here. Thank you, Holy Spirit. We recognize that you are here, not by feeling. Some of us don't feel you. Some of us are distracted. We're thinking about this week and the holidays, and we're thinking about all sorts of things. But tonight we say to you, Lord, despite our feelings and our emotions, we say to you, Lord, thank you that you're here. And where you're here, where you are, Lord, there's freedom. Because you're here, there's freedom, Lord. Because you're here, there's an opportunity to respond tonight. There's an opportunity to give our hearts to you again. And so we recognize, Lord, we come with thanksgiving tonight. Just thank the Lord again. If you're a believer here this evening, if you're saved, just thank the Lord. Remember where you came from. Think about the day when you were so lost and you were doing all sorts of stupid stuff, and then God came to save you out of that place of your stupidity and your ignorance, where you just did stuff, and it might have been with good motives, but you just didn't realize that what you're doing is actually wrong. And sometimes what you don't do is also wrong. What you neglected to do was also wrong. But God came to save you. Thank Him for that. Thank Him for your salvation this evening. Thank Him for the gift of the Holy Spirit. Thank Him for the gift of life that He's given you. But it may be you here this evening and you're not a believer. You cannot thank God for your salvation because you've never had that experience of giving your life to the Lord. saying, God, here I am. Here's my heart. Don't want to give you all sorts of stuff, Lord. All I want to give you is my heart. I want you to change my heart, because inside of me, I'm a sinful man and a woman. I'm a sinful person. I cannot save myself, cannot get to heaven by any other way. And the great thing about Christianity is that it's the only religion where you don't have, not have to do anything. God has done it all for you. You don't have, not have to prove yourself. Every other religion is all about good works and all about you as a person trying to save yourself. And tonight I want to tell you there's good news. God has come to save you. Jesus has come to save you. And if you were the only person on this earth, Jesus would still die for you. He would have died for you. So maybe you're here this evening and you don't have assurance of salvation. You don't know that you're going to go to heaven one day. If you die right now, you don't know that. You're not sure. God doesn't want you to leave this place with that same doubt and fear of death and fear of failure and fear of stuff. God wants you to come and give your life to Him tonight. So if that's you, I want you to take a very bold step just to raise your hand. I would love to pray with you. I don't save you. I cannot save you, but I know one who saves, because I've been saved by grace. But it takes a step of faith, the Bible says. We've been saved by grace, but it's through faith. We need faith. We need to believe that Jesus is the only way, the only truth, and the only life. So if the Spirit of God is speaking to your heart and you feel it tugging, I just want you to be honest. Just raise your hand. Even if you're very shy, feels like you're going to die now because everyone's looking at you. I want to tell you, everyone's not looking at you. And even if they are, it doesn't matter. Jesus paid a great price for you. It doesn't matter what people say. Jesus died on the cross openly, where everyone could see Him in His nakedness. He came to die for us. So if that's you tonight, I want you to be very bold. Just raise your hand. Is there anyone like that? You want to give your life afresh to Jesus. Maybe you've backslidden. Maybe you've made that commitment, but you don't hear the voice of the shepherd saying to you tonight, I love you. I'm proud of you. If you don't hear that voice tonight, then I want you to say, Jesus, I want to hear your voice. There's a blockage in my life. Anyone like that? You just want to give your life to the Lord Jesus. Maybe for the first time or maybe for the fourth time. It's fine. Do it again. He loves it when you commit to Him. Anyone like that? I want to say to you, if you're too shy now, then just come to me afterwards. I'd love to pray with you. If you don't want to do it like now, then it's okay. But now is the time of salvation. Today is the day. You don't have to live on in your weakness and in struggling and in trying any longer. Just be honest with where you're at to the Lord. And then I want to speak to specific people here tonight. If the Lord has spoken to you about some area of pride in your life where you feel you have a right. You have a right to be a Christian even. And you've allowed criticism and you've allowed negative stuff to creep in because God doesn't seem to move, but you know, I mean, I'm a Christian. God should move in my life. God should. And you've almost come to expect it in a negative way. You haven't come humbly and you haven't come by faith where you just believe in God's goodness. Maybe pride has crept into your life a little bit. Just be honest. I want you to come forward. I want you to do an act that I really believe will change your life. Just humble yourself. Kneel before God here at the front. Just come to the front and you do business with God. No one's going to pray for you. You just come to the front and you just kneel before God. Humble yourself. But I want you to come forward. I want you to, because coming forward is an act of humility. If you feel this pride in your life and God's speaking to you now about this thing, do it. Do it now. Don't wait. Don't delay. Remember, obedience is the fruit of humility. And if you humble yourself and you be obedient, God is going to bless you. So don't be disobedient. If the Lord's speaking to you tonight about this thing, you know it's in your life. If the Spirit of God is speaking to you, you'll know. God loves you too much to not speak to you. If you're a Christian tonight, He's speaking to you. Just humble yourself before God. I'm just going to pray a prayer over you and you do business with God. If you want someone to pray for you afterwards, then just make sure you get to someone this evening. But is there anyone else you would like to just join these people? Because I want to say to you guys at the front here, God is going to bless you for this act of obedience.